From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And this is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we move into another beautiful spring in the Diocese of Sacramento, waiting for all that snow to melt and bring down water, hopefully not all at once, here into the vast Central Valley so they can provide water for all of our needs, especially all the great crops that we grow throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Gabe, it's about time that we tell people about all the various ways they can listen to the Bishop's Hour. People ask all the time, how can they get the Bishop's Hour? First and foremost, you can listen to it on the radio.
On the radio.
The old-fashioned way.
Yes. It's the thing with dials on it. You have what you usually installed in your car.
I remember as a kid fiddling with the car radio and trying to get these distant stations, KSL, Salt Lake, late at night. Late at night, the 50,000 watts would take over.
Right.
And of course, KFBK here in Sacramento was one of those.
Yeah.
And you could hear it all over the West Coast.
That's one of those.
KFBX in Portland,
That's one of those radio things they don't tell you when they talk about how big their reach is that it's actually at like midnight. It's the 50,000 watts. It's usually that they late at night.
The other stuff kind of shuts down.
Yeah,
50,000 watts, which my understanding was that it had a lot to do with civil defense.
Yeah,
that it was a way anybody anywhere could pick up at least one of those 50,000 watt stations,
right,
and get emergency information.
Yeah, there's that. And it's funny because if you drive up to the snow, you get those, chain whatever.
Train
noise. Yeah, but the reception sounds terrible, but it really is just that it's kind of like a copy of a copy. It's a radio signal being sent out by a radio signal.
Yeah, well,
it sounds,
We're, 1620 a.m.?
Yep.
And I believe the road report is 1630 a.m.
Yeah.
And people ask me, well, where can I listen to the Bishop's Hour? And I say, well, if you hear the chain report, you're close.
You've gone too far.
Yeah.
How scary would it be, though, if you're stuck up in the snow and you start hearing a conversation about the rapture?
Yeah, well,
everyone's like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. That's not a good chain report. So we're go to 1620 a.m., as Bob mentioned, at 9 p.m. Every night, Monday through Friday. And then Saturdays at 9 a.m., I believe, they replay a show from that week that I think the network sort of picks which show they want to play. So it's kind of a not something Bob and I have control over. The network picks it, but it's always a good show. And then also daily, you can listen to the Bishop's Hour on a podcast app of your choice, Apple Podcasts and all that kind of stuff. You can pick us up or on the podcast player called Podbean, which is one you can just download the app for your phone, regardless of what kind of phone platform you use. Most Android users use Podbean or Google Plus because the Apple Podcast comes standard on an iPhone. It's already there on your phone before you get it. And you just basically go on to Sacramento Bishop's Hour. You click subscribe, and nothing comes to your inbox. Nobody gets spammed. Nobody gets scammed. Nothing like that. It's just we basically...
Yeah, we're not going to use anybody's information.
Nope. No, we're not.
We're not even gathering anybody's information.
No, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. But also, that's not how podcasts work.
All of these things are free.
Yeah, everything is free. And basically, you go on there, and what it does when you subscribe, if you don't know, is every time you do open that application, it will tell you have X amount of unlistened to episodes. And you can go through and pick whatever one you want, and
that's
we label.
Nice thing. They're archived.
Yeah, they're archived.
And if you go to scd.org, you can even read what the episode is about.
Same with the podcasting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same labeling. So if we have like we had Deacon Greg on last week, and it was listed as, you know, Deacon Greg McAvoy is here, and this is his title. So, and you know, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, things like that, yeah. So, you know, it gets you kind of an idea of what you're listening to. Let's say your kids are going to be going to Catholic schools next year, and all of a sudden you hear that Katie Prada is going to be on, and she's our superintendent, or the kids from the academic decathlon who won, and you want to kind of see what our schools are doing, you can go on and do that. And maybe something with schools doesn't interest you, but events do, and you'll see that there's some
maybe
now
you're not looking for something specific, but you just say, oh, I want to see what was on. You just scroll through it and say, oh, I didn't know Bishop was on Tuesday. And
or your parish priest might be on. We have priests on all the time. Right. we have
In fact, we want to hear from you about show topics.
Yeah, we do.
We're not the gurus of show topics. Sometimes we'll hear from people say, well, I heard a pastor from so-and-so was on. How come you haven't had our pastor on?
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to have your pastor on, or we'd love to have your choir director on, or music director, or faith formation director, or you go right through it. If you have a special ministry in your parish that you think was something that you'd like to share with our listeners, we want to hear about it, and we want to get you on the air.
Or an event of some kind. It's something that, like, a lot of people will say, excuse me, a lot of people will say, oh, my event was real small. It's like, well, maybe it was small because you didn't publicize it. You know, if you have a crab feast and it's just, well, we're expecting the people from our area. Believe me, if you have a parish in Lincoln and you hear talk about a crab feast, you're going to get some people from Roseville who weren't going to come because they didn't hear about it, but we can help them hear about it. And you're just trying to raise money.
I remember years ago, it happens all the time. Crab feeds are so common in this area, with the Dungeness crab right down there in the San Francisco Bay, but the best crab in the world. But Crystal Ray was having a crab feed, and my daughter Maeve, she was probably about a fourth or fifth grader at that time. She and I went. And it was so great to see the kids from Crystal Ray all were waiting tables and everything. The place is packed. People love crab feeds. And so there are, what I didn't know is there's kind of a crab feed circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were professional crab eaters. Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't competing with each other, really.
Right.
But they were, I mean, it wasn't like the hot dog contest of Nathan's hot dog contest.
Yeah, like Joey Chestnut.
But it was, these people were pros at it. They brought gear.
Yeah.
Beyond the aprons, the bibs.
Okay.
They brought gear. They brought little Bunsen burners to heat the butter. And they brought their own butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would melt, and you dip the crab in it. Well, so these two very nice ladies were sitting across from my daughter and I, Maeve and I, and she didn't know an official from a patron from an official, you know,
right.
Like somebody that was just there to eat and somebody that was part of the show.
Right.
And she saw these ladies light up the Bunsen burner and the butter melted nicely, and they started dipping their crab in it. And so Maeve took her crab and dipped it in their butter.
Mm-hmm.
If looks could kill.
Wow. That could be the next season of Deadliest Catch, is the other end of it. These professional crab eaters. Maeve.
We still talk about it.
Poor Maeve. Did she?
No, they were very generous.
They were generous.
Okay. It just startled them. It was like it'd be sort of like somebody reaching over on your plate and picking up a dinner roll off your plate.
Right.
You know, it was like,
yeah, that's funny. I have a few friends who've traveled abroad, and they'll eat in traditional places that are like off the beaten path. Like, just locals eat there, and that there are some places in some countries that do communal eating. And they said it was really weird that these people would kind of grab off their plate. They had they had bread or whatever that you said, they would grab it, and it was like they're mid conversation. They don't even break conversation. And my friends were like, okay, this must be what they do here. And then they just sort of went along with it because you don't want to, you don't want to break someone's custom.
I remember being in with a group of friends and one of those bars where there's sawdust on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They got peanuts on every table.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, there was a place like that in my hometown. And you have to crack the peanuts. I mean,
right.
They're in the shell. and you just toss the peanuts on the floor.
Yeah.
And at night, whoever comes in sweeps up all the sawdust and the peanuts, and then the next day they put down new sawdust. And, well, this group started throwing their peanuts on the shells on the floor. It was like management was ready to kick them out.
Wow.
It's like, oh, well, in our hometown,
yeah.
When you see the sawdust, it...
Yeah, it means you go for it. Yeah, go ahead and throw them.
But, yeah. You know, yeah, so these things vary, but anyway.
But, yeah.
We got started on that. If you have a crab feed, if you're having... St. Francis Church here in Sacramento is having a Francis Fest on June the 11th. And they're inviting the whole diocese. They're inviting non-Catholics. They're inviting anybody.
And it sounds people like named Francis. Show up.
People named Francis, yeah. And I had an uncle named Francis.
It's a good name.
We call him Frank. But
Mel, yeah.
Francis.
Mel workout partner. His name is Frank Francis.
And it's going to be a wonderful event.
Yeah.
You know? And we had somebody who's helping coordinate it. We had him on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And... that's the kind of thing we want to hear about. If somebody, if some kid in your parish is doing something, has started a, you know, is selling lemonade to help somebody, we want to hear about that. And it doesn't have to be a straight A student or an athlete that won a gold medal, or it doesn't have to be the cream of the crop, if you will. We want everybody to have a chance to tell their story.
Yeah, and honestly, like you were kind of saying, to expand on that, we've had football and basketball and all that on here, and soccer and all the sports you think of, but there's always those other fringe, for lack of a better term, sports. I mean, I took my daughter for a walk up near the high school where we live, and they were having lacrosse practice.
Yeah.
And
Lacrosse is taking over.
It is. And it used to be an East Coast sort of only sport, and it's made its way to the West Coast. And I think that it's one of those things where if, you know, history serves correctly, Catholic schools do well in a lot of sports. And, you know, does it mean we have better athletes? Maybe. But all I'm saying is we do well in sports. And I think that having... you know, highlighting these sports. If you have your coach is just, you know, you've badminton coach, your tennis coach, whatever. That's a great, you know, or even a player on your team that is exceptional.
Tennis is not a French sport.
That's not my wife. My wife was a college tennis player.
Put me in that category.
Yeah, no. My wife would be chastising me the same way. And my oldest son now wants to play tennis. So yes,
You know, I remember one Saturday morning just flipping through the dials and came across the NCAA. Division One lacrosse final game, championship game.
Yeah.
It was like Duke and Syracuse or something.
Still an East Coast sport.
And I looked, and it was in a football stadium.
Yeah.
And it was full. There were like 40, 50, 60,000 people there. And
yeah.
Really? Well, I've been missing and got into the game, and it was fascinating.
And you know, another one too is we had on a few years ago now, former Roseville Police Chief McCowan. If you have an officer in your city that's Catholic and they're very open about their faith and they would want to talk about their experiences being Catholic law enforcement
I remember that interview well.
Yeah.
Because it was. The perfect melding of faith and occupation.
Yeah.
And in a way that you'd think, well, maybe these things don't quite go together. And he talked about how they do go together.
Right.
How your Catholic morals, your Catholic beliefs, how they influence how you go about your job and how you treat your coworkers and how, especially in law enforcement, you treat people that you may have to be arresting, or people that run afoul of the law.
Yeah,
and that's or that's not all law enforcement. Law enforcement does a lot of just helping people, as well. But it was a very revealing interview, and I thought, wow, that's the kind of people we like in law enforcement.
Yeah,
he was very impressed.
Yeah, I think that we can get a lot of people like that. It's just that. A lot of the people who would be good to highlight in that way are very humble about their faith and aren't necessarily going to say, hey, I should get interviewed. So it takes you to let us know about them.
Yeah.
So email us at radio@scd, that's SCD as in Sacramento Catholic Diocese, .org. So radio@scd.org. And
you can go to scd.org, and Gabe's contact information and my contact information are right there. Our emails, our phone numbers, our stuff is right there as well. So, Gabe, appreciate that, all that good information.
Absolutely. And listen to the show on all those platforms. Also, you can listen to the show on our website at scd.org. You go down. I actually thought they were only archived for a week, but I was scrolling down. It's almost like a few weeks.
Yeah.
So you listen to a few weeks in.
That's where I always go if I want to re-listen to something,
yeah,
or refresh my memory. I'll just go to scd.org, and you just hit the link, and there it is.
There it is. Yeah, right there. It's on the homepage.
Remember to hit the volume on your computer.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an audio-only medium right now, yeah. Yes, for us. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So definitely those are all the places you can go to. And if you just have questions and you want to learn how to subscribe and have me walk you through it, just call.
Yeah, just call.
And I can call you during the show and walk you through it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hesitate to call either of us. Our phone numbers are there.
I'm used to my mom, who will ask me if her DVD player isn't working and she hasn't unplugged. So there's no question you could ask me that will
plug it in.
Yeah,
that's I didn't know that.
Step one.
I mean, that's why I have a teenage son.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm used to fielding a lot of electronic questions over the phone. It's kind of becoming my forte. So
if I weren't on the air and I was out there trying to listen, I'd be calling you.
Yeah. And that's why I'm everyone's producer. I'm here to help everyone.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Thanks, Gabe. Thanks for all you do. It's not too late. We just have come from Easter Sunday and, of course, Divine Mercy Sunday, which followed Easter, and then Easter season running all the way really till Pentecost. And the birthday of the church. And so I'd just like to share with you Bishop Soto's 2023 Easter message, relatively short but very profound and really hits me in the heart. Bishop Soto writes, "When the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem, he did not come alone. He brought with him his friends and disciples, intent and determined to be obedient to the Father's will. He brought along his companions. This was also part of the Father's plan. They were to be his witnesses. They were also to share in his saving work. They accompanied him through the gates of Jerusalem, walked him through the streets of the holy city. They ate the bread of life and drank from the cup of salvation at the first Eucharist. They prayed with him in the garden. Even though they fled from him, betrayed him, and denied him, it was the Father's holy desire that they be saved by the sacrifice of Jesus and come to share in his resurrection. The Lord Jesus invites us to the heavenly Jerusalem. Jesus wishes us to be his companions for this journey of faith. The Lord gathers us around the altar of his sacrifice. The Good Shepherd leads us through his death to the glory of the resurrection, trusting in the Father's divine mercy, let us humble ourselves at the foot of the cross so that his glory and grace may be revealed in us. A blessed and happy Easter to you and yours." Those are Bishop Soto's 2023 Easter message. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Kevin, for that wonderful introduction and for all the great work you do. And speaking of Deacon Kevin Stasko, we have Jennifer Campbell joins us.
Hi, how are you?
You work with Deacon Kevin?
I sure do.
Absolutely.
I sure do.
On a lot of projects?
Yes.
Many of which are coming up.
Many of which are coming up. Yeah, that
is
true.
The calendar it's flying by. The pages are flying off the calendar.
They really are. Like, I don't know what happened to March. It felt like it was
March, first off, was like December.
Well, that's true.
It was cold. It was raining.
We sure did get a lot of snow up at camp, so.
Well, it's really strange. I remember I was reading a story about this little town in Idaho called Sandpoint. It was something about the character of the town or something. Anyway, but it said it's a difficult life because they get up to 60 inches of snow per season. And I went, oh, 60 inches. Wow, good for you. In the Sierra Nevada, they had 722 inches at one of the resorts.
Oh, they did?
And which was an all-time record. That's 60 feet of snow in California, where people think the sun shines all the time.
Well, and yeah, it's been a crazy winter. And you're right. No, March did feel a little bit like December should have felt.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, though. So, yeah, it's been a... It's just time is flying by. So
time's flying.
Camp starts tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you have Camp Indola.
Yes.
Coming up in June,
yep, we start.
And you're still looking for a few people.
We are. So we're still looking for campers. We need campers for our teen trips and for all the 5 weeks of camp that we're doing this year, including our Girls Week, which is not always the case. It's often that week fills up first, but it's slower.
You know, last year was the first year back from the pandemic. We've seen some, whether it's restaurants, businesses, camps, we see some of them got overwhelmed when the pandemic sort of ended, if you want to say that, because people, there was such a pent-up demand. And then we saw other places where they had to close down entirely.
Yes.
Where it's taking them a while to get back.
Yeah, I think it's taken us a while. It's like a whole new kind of generation of campers, and we lost out on a generation of campers, essentially, because we were closed.
Yeah.
It's
a short window when you call it a generation.
It's a very short window for
campers.
The camp of life. Yeah, yeah, camp life. So we're trying to work our way back to those numbers again. And just try to get the program still going. Last year we were able to run all 4 weeks. We were full and we had waiting lists. So that's why we opened a fifth week this year. So I feel like now that, you know, spring break is over, we're in the Easter season, past Easter Sunday, I think people are going to start thinking, oh, summer, that's literally in few weeks.
Having a warm day like we actually had on Easter Sunday helps.
For sure.
People go, because when it's raining all the time, summer camp doesn't sound as attractive.
Exactly. And now that the sun is out, I think people are going to start thinking about summer camp. And that's true for, of course, our campers, but that's totally still also true for people looking for summer jobs.
Right.
They weren't, when it was pouring down rain and it felt like the middle of winter, people weren't thinking like, oh yeah, what am I doing this summer? So I think as, you know, spring breaks at all of the colleges, they're all over the map this year. It seems like
they really are.
It More so than I've noticed in the past, like generally in the past, everyone's are they're either this week or that week, right?
Well, we have one kid in high school, one kid at a community college, and two at different universities.
Yeah.
And it was like four different spring breaks.
Exactly.
Who's coming home when? Who's going to be where? You know, it was like,
I don't know.
Why can't we all do it at the same time?
A perfect storm of crazy with that this year. But so I think now that all the spring breaks are kind of starting to wrap up, hopefully.
I think so.
I think that people will start thinking about summer jobs. And I mean, we've gotten more applications in the last couple of weeks than we were getting previously. But we still are looking for counselors. We have the leadership team in place, which is a blessing. But we still need the counselors who are going to be in the cabins with the campers. All of us in the leadership team are happy to go into cabins with campers if we need to, but it helps us run camp smoother, more smoothly. If we have staff who are dedicated to setting up program and then staff that are dedicated to being with the campers. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for camp counselors and,
male, female,
a little of both. Surprisingly, and it's great this year. We are still looking for female camp counselors as well as male counselors. We're usually at this point just looking for guys, but we're looking for both. We need them to be available for the training week, which starts on June 7th. And then throughout the summer, I will say we do have some flexibility. I know people are always worried, like, I just don't want to commit my whole summer, whatever that might be. We are really flexible about giving. If you need this week off, take this week off. Mm-hmm. We basically take most of the 4th of July week off. And I'll explain in a few minutes what we do with the second half of that 4th of July week. But we do basically take that week off. And then staff have all day Saturday and half of Sunday off now. We changed our schedule.
I was explaining that to my daughters. Three, all of whom are the age that you're looking for, college age. And unfortunately, they all have summer jobs already.
Right.
But I was explaining that about, they get after Friday night, they get all day Saturday and come back Sunday by noon and then in time for mass at the camp. And they said, wow, that's something pretty good. They're thinking summer camp, it's going to be 6 weeks, 7 days a week.
Right.
And that's not the case.
It's not the case. We're able to do that. We've worked the schedule so that we can do that because it gives staff an opportunity to kind of like refresh themselves.
And they get all their meals.
And they get all their meals
and
covered.
There's nowhere to spend. And they get paid well.
They get paid.
And there's nowhere to spend the money.
There really isn't. I mean, and if you wanted to stay up at camp, but you didn't want to drive home, but you wanted to stay up at camp, that's also an option. Some of our staff will do it, especially people who are like super outdoorsy who really want to be camping for the summer.
Or
like
maybe home's 6 hours away.
Or they'll hike. They'll go hiking on their day off and explore some of the area around.
It's a beautiful area.
It's beautiful. And there's parts of it that, it's just the hikes might be too far to take some of our campers. Or if, you just, that counselor tends to be with the littles, they're not going to end up going on the like longer hikes that may be a little more fun.
So how young are the youngest campers?
The youngest campers are 6. We generally, it's 7 is the generally the age, but we always get a few 6-year-olds. Yeah, they're just about there.
They usually do fine?
They usually do fine. It's kind of funny. The kids who you think would be the least amount of homesickness sometimes have the most amount of homesickness. The littles, they're just happy as long as you are with them. They just want a caring adult that's going to like listen to their stories and be excited to hear them. And the older campers, they want the same thing, but they don't always, ask for it in the same way.
It surprise you too. With our own kids, sometimes once in a while, whether it was camp or going off to stay with a relative for a weekend or something, the one you thought was just completely self-sufficient is calling you on the phone in tears.
Definitely.
And the one that you thought was going to call in tears is just having the time of their life.
And a lot of the times right now, like what I'm finding is it's less of the child being homesick and more of the parent being homesick without their child. Yeah. And, you know, that's something we talk about and work through it, and kids have a blast. So, yeah, the littles are, there's always fun stories from the littles. Sorry, we call most of the campers. You're either a little or a big. It's not a size thing. It's an age thing.
Your counselors to be homesick.
No. And that's part of the reason that we have this year. We're able to do a week and a half of staff training. We're going to bring the chaplains up for part of that staff training time, so that they can get to know the staff. You know, we're really focusing on getting chaplains every week. So
are you still looking for a few chaplains?
We still are.
I saw you had put out the word.
Yeah, we're still looking for a few more, two more specifically, I think, at this point.
Maybe just, I know we have a number of potential chaplains listening.
Yeah, any of those.
Tell them what they're in for.
So we asked the priest to come up, and they stay from Sunday to Friday. They are doing, they'll do activities with the campers. And it kind of is a, I always like to say it's kind of a choose your own adventure for the chaplains, because it's what they're interested in. So, you know, if a chaplain really likes to hike, we'll, okay, take the kids out on a hike with this counselor and go with them. Some of the chaplains really like to hang out, do crafts. Father Dean loves to lead an astronomy lesson. And
I would love to get an astronomy lesson from Father Dean.
There is something so peaceful about it. And I've missed it a few times, and I like to go listen to it, but when I've missed it, I always feel sad that I've missed it. He also is great at making a rosary, like the string not rosaries. Yeah. That's one of his other gifts that he brings to camp. It was one of the things that, like, when his first summer up there, it was one of the things I trained him how to do and, like, showed him how to do and taught him the thing. It's only, sometimes they get complicated. I've heard over a radio, Miss Jen, can you come to the rosary making? and it's a very calm, you know, and that's generally nothing that he's not done. It's just that
I didn't know that was a camp activity.
Yeah, we do rosary making.
That's
it's
great.
It's
do you distribute the rosary somewhere?
The kids just make them for themselves.
Oh, that's great.
Or for a parent. And then we'll do for some of the younger kids, because doing that many knots in a row, they can get frustrated, because it is a lot of dexterity you need. So we'll do rosary bracelets for them, and you know, and ours are, so sometimes not rosaries, you use the, like, use a cross, like you have a metal or a plastic cross. The ones we make the cross out of knots too. Everything is a knot, and it's like it's the cord that you would use to make if you're using a fishing net. It's the same cording that you use. So the best place to, if you are interested, you can buy that rosary twine at, like, places. There's a lot of companies that sell rosary twine, but if you
actually,
like,
call it rosary twine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And if you want it a little cheaper, though, just go to your local Bait and Tackle.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm not even kidding. It's the same string.
Well, we're supposed to be fishers of men.
That's right. Yeah. That's what always, and it makes me laugh about that, is that, like, oh, well, it's fishing twine.
Fish just everywhere in this faith. Isn't
exactly.
There?
So, I mean, so the chaplains kind of can, they do have a little bit of choose your own adventure. We ask them to say daily mass. We ask them to do mass before us on Sunday. They'll lead adoration on Wednesday night. Sorry, it changes each week. So they'll lead adoration one night.
Wow, adoration in the mountains. That's great.
Well, and sometimes we'll even do that outside, because being outside to do adoration changes a little bit. Depends on and again, that just depends on the chaplain and what they would like to do. And we've even had priests, one of the chaplains went out on the canoe part of the canoe trip and said mass out at the lake. So,
wow.
I mean, you know, it's however, we're just trying to get these young people to have a connection to their faith, and to it's an opportunity for them to see what their vocation could be, because I think a lot of young people, especially children, they see the priest as the person at Mass, and that's it. And right. So this really takes them like, oh my gosh, this, like, your life isn't just stuck in the church, like stuck in the church building if you're mm-hmm. a priest. Like, there's lots of ways that you are serving as a priest, and this is just another way for kids to connect to that. And I think it's, personally, I think it's so important. I mean, I wish that was something that I had seen mm-hmm. more growing up.
Sure. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful that you have that. And let's be clear, your counselors have to be 18.
They do.
They don't have to be in college, but they have to be 18.
Yeah, college-aged is what we usually say. So yeah. So 18 and up, they need to be 18 with a high school diploma and Catholic. And then the campers are 17 and under, basically.
Yes.
it's one of the, when we visited all of the Catholic schools, and the thing that, especially with my second and third graders, when I go into the classroom, the first thing I say is it's a camp for 7 to 17-year-olds. And then I confirm that they're in between 7 and 17.
Oh yeah, they think it's 7 or 17.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are in between that age. Just want to confirm it. Like, nobody's older or younger, and they're like, and they'll either giggle or like get excited because they're like, no, I am 7. I'm like, perfect. I'm in the right room. Yeah. I made it to the right place. I'm, you know. And then you've got the one jokester that's always like, no, I'm 19. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And you're in the fourth grade.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always one. Yeah. There's always one.
That was me.
It's usually sitting in, he or she is usually sitting in the front row.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. God planted him there.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. God and the teacher.
And the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do have a cook, though.
We do. Yeah. Yes, we have a cook this year. We have our program director. We have an assistant director. And we have our health center manager all in place. So that's fantastic. A lot of pressure lifted.
And they'll be the whole.
They'll be the whole summer.
Shooting match.
Whole thing. Yep.
Yeah.
And then I did mention that we are going to be off for most of the 4th of July mm-hmm. week. But we're going to come back and do a weekend program that we're in collaboration with the rest of the youth ministry office. And it's called Youth on a Mission.
Yes.
Lovingly known as YOM. So
youth, they move that around, don't they?
We do. So before I moved to the camp staff and was the director of camp, I was one of the founding people of YOM, and so we started it.
So it's founded right here in the Diocese of Sacramento.
It was found in the Diocese of Sacramento. Wow. Working alongside we're the lead diocese, but it's in collaboration with the other North Cal diocese, mm-hmm. just like we do On Fire,
right.
In collaboration, same team. And it does move around a bit, but we're touring it up at Camp Pendola this year for a couple of reasons. One is it's a good way to get show people to see the retreat center, and kind of get kids out of their comfort zone. We've mm-hmm. done it on college campuses. We've done it at, you know, other retreat centers. But we just thought this is a great way that we already have staff who can do some of the small group part.
Right.
And then we're just bringing in speakers. So it's for high school youth, so entering freshmen through entering seniors who are interested in taking their like leadership and discipleship up to the next level. So while they're there, they're going to learn how to like run a small group, which is like, if you're in youth ministry, that's kind of step one. So leading that conversation in a small group, how to share a witness talk, and also experience different forms of prayer, that maybe their parish maybe not have a big, you know, focus on, or that might not be that like a prayer they've ever tried before. I know a few years ago we did like Taze prayer, and that's not a prayer that like everyone's done.
Mm-hmm.
And just to like help them get experiences in that. So that's going to be in July, and we'll be up at camp for that as well. So it's open to the dice, all the young people in NorCal. And yeah, that's.
Oh, interesting. The age on that again?
Entering freshmen through entering seniors.
Okay.
So just that one is specifically for high schoolers. Right. It's a 3-day, 2-night program. They are going to be arriving on Thursday and leaving on Saturday. And then we have another camp session that starts on Sunday.
So you'll have the same crew there for Youth on a Mission?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we'll definitely, like, the Pendola staff will be the same.
Right.
And then the speakers, it's going to be diocesan doctors from other and from other dioceses. And they're so still
for that, you're probably going to get kids from all around.
For sure. We'll get kids from all around. I mean, in the past, we've had, you know, we've definitely always had kids from, like, the Oakland Diocese and Santa Rosa Diocese.
You had one, like, at St. Mary's, right?
We've done it at St. Mary's in the past. We started it at Cal Maritime
in Vallejo.
Right
up on the hill there.
It's a little-known school, and it is beautiful.
Well, it literally trains people to captain the big ships.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
And they've got the Golden Bear, the big mm-hmm. ship, just right there in Carquinez Bay whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's always I had a classmate in high school who went to school there, and he would come home, you know, in the summer, and just fascinating.
It's an interesting school. It also has its dorms up on the hill, and mm-hmm. I think it's like 200 stairs to the dorms from the main campus. I could be wrong on the number because it felt like 5,000 stairs.
Yeah.
Especially at night after we've had a full day of activity.
Sure.
And I'm like, I just want my bed.
Yeah. And it's in terms of the size of student body, it's pretty small.
It's a very,
but they have a athletic program for mm-hmm. men and women. It's, you know, they're sometimes you'll see Sac State play them, or UC Davis will play them in basketball. Or
right. I know about their basketball team because a friend's son was on the team a few years ago. So we've moved it around. We've been at St. Mary's. We've been there. We did it at Trinity Pines one time. So now we're moving it to Pendola.
That'll be very interesting.
It'll be fun. I'm excited. I'm excited for it to come there, and to be part of it again.
So, how do they sign up for Youth on a Mission? Different than going to Pendola.org?
Actually, it's the same. They can go to Pendola.org, and it's just the same registration system, or they can go to the Youth on a Mission website, which I don't know off the top of my head. But if you go to the scd.org, you'll find Youth on a Mission in our events, and you can get the link there. I do believe it's got a kind of long email address or website.
with a lot of backslash.
Yeah. You can also, if you have questions, contact Anthony Ta, and his email address is ata@scd.org. So Anthony would be one of the people who could help you out with that. The website, like I said, is a little long, and it's not in the letter. Oh, well. But you definitely can contact Anthony at ata@scd.org. And he's, because he is one of the people for it, one of the leads on that. And the cost for this is $2.99 for that weekend. Mm-hmm. And there are some scholarships available
yeah.
if that is, we don't want price to be just like for summer camp. We don't want price to be the reason you don't go.
So you have scholarships for summer camp too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we have summer camp. We do have scholarships because, again, we don't want any camper to not attend camp because money is the issue. So there's scholarships and partial scholarships. It's a scholarship for up to 65% of the cost of the week of camp.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So you already have put together On Fire, I presume?
Tell
us about it this year.
Yeah, so we are back once again at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in Vallejo.
Right near Cal Maritime,
speaking of. And the date is September 16th.
The Saturday.
And we've got our talent lined up already, so I'm pretty excited about the talent. We have Maggie Krug is going to come and be our keynote speaker.
And what will she talk about?
TBD. That we're still deciding exactly what her topic will be. It'll be something connected to the Eucharist, because we are in the Eucharistic Revival year, and her keynote is part of our evening program, which is leading us into adoration. So she'll be there for that. We have Father Brandon, who is from the Diocese of Oakland, who will be our homilist. Our main presider is going to be a name that you recognize, Bishop Cotta.
Oh, wow.
From the Diocese of Stockton.
Diocese of Stockton, former auxiliary.
Formerly from here. Right. So we're excited.
Spent so much of his career in the Diocese of Fresno, where he grew up.
Where he grew up. Yeah. So I'm excited to get to see him at On Fire. But he's going to be the main presider this year. And
probably will have just come back from World Youth Day in Portugal.
That is altogether possible.
My guess is he will go because he's of Portuguese heritage.
He is of Portuguese heritage. He is fluent in Portuguese and does a lot of festas. Mm. My mom's side of the family is Portuguese. So he's going to be there. And then our music will be a band that we're putting together, and we're calling it the On Fire House Band. But it's Thomas Muglia, Dana Catherine, Benjamin Cortez, and Carla, cannot remember her last name, I'm so sorry. She's from LA. They all sang together at NCYC, the National Catholic Youth Conference, in Long Beach this year, and we just loved them, loved their sound, and decided that we needed them at On Fire. So
I love how you said the keynote speaker was going to be, it was TBD. So a few years ago, I got asked to speak to some event, and they said, what are you going to talk about? You know, I mean, there are a lot I could talk about sports, or I could talk, you know, anyway. I said, well, I'll get back to you and we'll figure it out, because it was a few months away. And then they, as a courtesy, sent me a flyer.
Oh, no.
and it said on it, topic TBD. And I said to my kids, so they want me to talk about TBD. I don't know anything about TBD. I don't even know what it means.
Oh, Bob. So
I thought it was like, you know, like, I don't know. And my kids, that's all they speak in abbreviations now.
Yes, I do.
Oh,
sir,
man.
I apologize. And then, of course, Joe Melendres will be back.
For people my age, that's to be determined.
To be determined. And Joe Melendres will, of course, be back.
Well, he's world famous.
He is world famous. We just love him at On Fire. He gets the event like no one else, gets the and understands the spirit of what we're trying to do with the event. So we love to have him back. And we'll have the Vocation Carnival again. So you can, like, speaking of vocations, we'll have that happening again for our young people.
So what exactly is a Vocation Carnival?
So it's during lunch, and basically it's exactly like it sounds. There's tables set up with carnival games led by different religious orders.
Wheel?
Could be. Actually, I don't do any of the spinning. Most of them are like chucking things.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, carnival games. And they just go around to the different carnival games and... that's about it. Then they talk to the different vocations. So it's vocation offices from the nine NorCal dioceses,
yeah,
are there sometimes. The different religious orders will be there. Sisters of Mercy usually will have a table. The Daughters of Charity will usually have a table. So just different religious orders.
I really like that all nine dioceses. Not all, it's not inclusive. Some that aren't. And then Reno
joins in as
one of the nine. But that there are nine dioceses that participate in this. I think some obviously more than others. But I think that's really fabulous for kids to get together with other kids and go,
right,
you're from Fresno, or you're from Reno, you're from Sparks, you know.
Well, and also when they, you know, when they go away to college, and often you don't go that far away from home, like, that this is something that, like, even if you're away at a university, like, if you're from Sacramento and you're going to, like, UC Berkeley.
Southern Oregon.
Or UNR, that's something they're, you know, when you go to the Newman Center, they're probably coming to On Fire.
So
it's a way for you to, like, kind of come back to something from high school, but you're coming with a totally different group,
yep,
and a totally different perspective, right?
Right.
So there's something kind of magical in that, that we really try to do.
It's more than just teenagers.
Youth and young adults.
Youth and young adults. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can imagine. One of my daughters has gotten very involved in the Davis Newman Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of imagining she's probably going to want to go to this.
Yeah. I think they've come in the past, mm-hmm, or at least advertised it for us. So, yeah, we do try to connect with those Newman Centers to bring young people as well, because the talks will fit for what they're doing, you know, for them as well. That's what we try to do at least.
And then you have ministry days.
Yes.
Coming up right after that.
Yes. The week after that is ministry days. So that's going to be on Friday is this day for our Catholic schools.
That'll be the 22nd.
Yes. Yeah. And then the 23rd is a day for all of our ministry leaders. So
it's next to the last weekend of September.
Next last weekend of September. Yes. And something we're doing this year that we're trying something different on Friday. Deacon Kevin is actually leading this part of it, but we are trying to set up a retreat like day for parish staffs. So if you have paid staff, part-time, full-time, they're there a lot because they volunteer, you know, asking pastors and deacons to bring their team together for a retreat day. And we've got some speakers lined up for that to, and that will be this on Friday, kind of running parallel with the day that this we're doing with the schools, you know, mass together, but, and the lunch together, but they'll have their own kind of sessions that are focusing, more for parish life. Because it is parish life, and working in a parish is different than working in a school.
Like now, in previous years, you've put out the word. You want maybe people to come up with an idea for a workshop, and it's still what 5 months away.
You're
ahead of the game this year.
We are. Yeah. We are hoping to have the booklet out with all of the workshops so that this year you can actually pre-select your workshop for Saturday. We're hoping to have that out by the second week of May. So mailed out to everyone, past participants and parishes by then.
And I cannot tell you, I cannot overemphasize how valuable this day is. It really, the times I've gone, I've just been overwhelmed with, I'm so glad I was there.
And I mean, I've been running the event for a decade. Yikes. I've been running the event for about
started in high school.
Yes. Yeah. Great school, really.
Yeah.
For about a decade, I've been running the event. And I can say that prior to that, I was a, you know, working at a parish as a youth minister part-time and would go to the event. And so many resources and so many ideas came from that, that I can't recommend it highly enough to take some time. Even if it's just for your family, which is the domestic church, but going to those, we have workshops on prayer. We're going to have workshops on how to pray with your children. We're going to have workshops on, for mental health. We're going to have all of those workshops that are going to not just help you with, you know, if you're a catechist at a parish or a ministry leader, but also you're a ministry leader. Everyone is in their church at home.
Sure.
And that's exactly right. You are a ministry leader of the domestic church. So we'll have some workshops for that as well. And there's a way to, you know, to listen to something and then go, how can I use this in my specific ministry, in my parish, in my home? Whatever that might be.
I remember a time or two when I was a presenter, and that was basically the topic was the domestic church. And I actually brought one of my daughters with me, and we talked, you know.
Yeah.
It was like a seminar type set. There were probably 30 people in the classroom, and I didn't get 5 minutes into it before somebody raised their hand and said, well, you know what we do in our family? And I remember one woman from Wairika was just had such great ideas as to how to, you know, spread the faith within your own family. Keep the faith for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just spreading it to your kids. It's mom and dad need to be
exactly
on the ball as well, you know?
Yeah.
It was so valuable to me. I was like, by the time the thing was over, I think every person in the room had volunteered something that they do
right.
in their family, and all of it valuable. Most of it's involving pancakes.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yes.
So, and that information will be coming out shortly, like I said, at ministrydays.com. For information about On Fire, which we have updated that website, tickets are not on sale yet, but will be very soon for that.
That includes all-you-can-eat lunch.
It does include an all-you-can-eat lunch. That information.
Certain rides that you're not recommended to ride immediately after the all-you-can-eat lunch.
For me, most of them.
Yeah, me too.
But that's all at onfirenorcal.com.
Again, September 16th. It's not too early to circle that date.
So, circle that date. You know, block it off.
Oh, I didn't know it was that date. Circle that date now.
Really, just block off September.
Just all of September.
Just every September weekend, we've got something happening. And then, for Pendola, please, check out the website at pendola.org. There's lots of different activities for all ages of campers. And we also have family camp the first weekend of September.
You are going to have family camp.
I mean, God willing.
God willing.
The water has been difficult in the last couple of years. So, but I think we've gotten enough rain this year that it might be okay.
Yeah. Well, and if you are maybe a potential counselor, but you have some questions that I didn't ask.
Yeah.
Call Jennifer.
Yes.
Or email her.
Email me, call me. Email is probably the easiest and fastest way for me to give you a response, just because I am floating around to schools still. And that my email is jcampbell@scd.org. And if you're wondering how to spell Campbell, just go look at this can of soup.
Can of soup. That's
it's so right
easy.
There.
Did you get teased about that when you were a kid? Did teachers say, how do you spell your name?
Why, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Not by the teachers, by the kids. Yes.
By the kids, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Yes. Yes.
It's just tough being a soup name.
It's not great.
Cream of mushroom.
Yeah. Yuck.
That's my favorite.
All by itself. I use it to cook things.
Oh, I just eat it right out of the can.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I did.
Really?
I really did. I would open that can and my mom would say, well, now you're supposed to mix it with, it says, with either water or milk. And I mean, you don't mix it with water.
Yeah, milk.
You know, and I'd say, why do I have to mix it? And I just take a spoon and I just eat it out of the can like ice cream.
We use it for one of the most popular meals up at camp for the overnight, which
with
is
beans?
No, Pendola Mac. So,
Wow.
Instead of taking out milk, we use pasta, cheese, and a can of
Mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm. Cream
Campbell's
of mushroom.
Mushroom. Cream of mushroom.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. It's the best.
Cream of mushroom
it's a
soup.
Gift from God.
Honestly.
Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thanks so much,
Bob.
Thanks
for all you do. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk with you again soon.
Inside of me, I feel your spirit is moving around me. I hear your voice, you call me closer. I know that you're I'm